There are lots and lots of books and workshops and tools and apps out there that try to help us make the best use of our time, promoting time management and productivity hacks. The author of a new book takes a different approach. Instead of focusing on being more efficient and getting more done, he wants us to accept that we'll never get it all done. Time is limited. You'll never have time for everything. And that's good news if we know what to do with it. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you tried using time management advice from a book or an app or whatnot? Did anything work for you, or did you feel as busy as you did before, or even busier? How do you make time for the things that are important to you in your life, whatever those may be? How do you decide what's important for you to spend your time on? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Oliver Berkman is a journalist and author. He wrote a long-running weekly column on psychology called This Column Will Change Your Life for The Guardian. His new book is called 4,000 Weeks, Time Management for Mortals. Oliver, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks very much. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, 4,000 weeks. When I found out what that meant, it's a little disturbing in a way. What's up with 4,000 weeks, Oliver?
4,000 weeks is very approximately the number of weeks you're going to get if you live to be around 80. I definitely rounded the number for effect. But I think that what's really important about that number is not really the exact figure. It's just that any life, even the sort of record-breaking, very long-lived people who sort of live until they're like 120, it's all so finite. When you think about it in weeks, it's 4,000, maybe 5,000 if you're lucky. It's not a lot.
You have tried lots of other time management advice over the years and productivity tips and things like that. What is the focus of a lot of the stuff out there that you see steering us in the wrong direction?
I mean, there's good stuff as well as bad stuff, but what there is and what I was for a long time is this phenomenon of people using this advice to try really to feel completely in control of time, to feel like they have their lives in working order, to feel like there is nothing that could be thrown at them that they would be unable to deal with, no ambition they could have that they couldn't put into practice. You know, it's this kind of omnipotence that I think we are seeking and that a lot of productivity gurus are encouraging us to try to achieve. And my argument is, you know, number one, it's not possible for a finite human to be omnipotent with respect to time. Number two, it's not even a worthwhile thing to try to do, because what it does is it actually undermines your ability to have time and focus for the things that matter the most to you in life.
Yeah, this idea that if I'm just efficient in how I use my time, I'm going to get to do all the stuff that I want to do, that other people want me to do. I'll keep up with my work. My house is going to be clean. I'm going to make great meals. Like, right, you can't do it, can you?
No, right. We live in, especially today, I think it's always been true in some sense, but especially today, because of technology, the economy, a lot of other things, we live in a world of what I call infinite inputs, right? There's always another email that you could be sent. There's always another demand your boss could make. Likewise, you know, there's always another exotic location you could have on your bucket list. It's not all unpleasant things, but it is all these kind of limitless inputs. And trying to get more efficient at getting through some limitless inputs is like, you know, getting faster at climbing up an infinitely tall ladder. You feel more rushed, but you're never going to get to the top of it because it's infinite.
So the core of your book, it seems to be, it's a mindset change. What is the mindset you're hoping to shake us into here?
The mindset I'm hoping to shake us into, which you know, absolutely is one that I have had to struggle with myself and still to some extent do struggle with, is to just see the facts. To just understand that getting on top of everything, doing everything, it's completely off the table to begin with. It's not that you failed to find the right time management technique or that you weren't self-disciplined enough. It's like trying to make 2 + 2 add up to 5, right? It's not going to happen. Once you see that, and once you can deal with the discomfort that arises from that, because it is an uncomfortable realization, at that point, you can instead choose to put your time and your attention onto a handful of things that matter the most. You have to give up this feeling that next month or next year, that's when you're going to be fully optimized, totally efficient, totally in control. Because of course, anyone like me who's struggled to try to achieve this feeling, like it's always off in the future. It's never now. It's always like you're just being led towards like maybe it's soon. but it actually never happens. And I think giving up hope in that respect, admitting defeat in a certain way, is actually the first step to being way more effective when it comes to using your time on things that you really care about.
Talking to Oliver Berkman about his new book, 4,000 Weeks, Time Management for Mortals. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have trouble deciding how to best spend your time? Do you feel overwhelmed trying to do it all? Have you had a realization that you can't do it all? How do you prioritize what is important in your life to spend your time on? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Oliver, I'm going to describe a feeling I often have, and I'm guessing from your book, a lot of people have it. I'm doing a thing, watching a movie, playing a computer game, hanging out, whatever. At the back of my mind is the fact that the thing I'm doing means I'm not doing all the other cool things I could be doing or important things I could be doing in the world. How do I shake that? How do we shake that?
Well, again, I'm not sure you should shake it. I think you should kind of almost go deeper into it and see, like, that feeling is reflecting the fact that every time we decide to do anything with an hour, with a week, with a lifetime, we are, by definition, right, neglecting a million other things. It's just the way it works to be a finite human. And I actually think that's one of those feelings that it's most tormenting when you sort of feel it a little bit. It's less tormenting when you really stare it in the face, because then you see, sure, you know, I'm always going to be missing out on stuff. Never mind the fear of missing out that, you know, is supposed to sort of ruin our lives these days. It's the inevitability of missing out. And I think once you accept that, you can sort of stop beating yourself up for the fact that you're choosing one thing over another thing. And that's when you can make better choices and you can ask, like, okay, is the thing I'm doing right now with my time the most meaningful thing for me in my circumstance in life to be doing it? So it's kind of really liberating to give up this hope that one day you're going to somehow be able to not miss out on things.
How do we do that kind of arranging, figuring out the things that are important to us or that are going to make us happy or fulfilled or whatever good thing we're looking for? How do we sort that out and then put it at the top of that list for some of our buckets of time?
It's a really good question. I mean, in the book, I do get into some really sort of down-to-earth little tips and techniques, but I think that the most important point is this kind of, it's this mindset shift that we're talking about. It's this willingness to tolerate some discomfort. And I think it is just this recognition that a lot of the things that matter to us the most don't always feel really comfortable. They don't always feel really good. If you're working on a difficult piece of creative work, or you are looking after a child who you love deeply, something like that, you're going to encounter like resistance, boredom, the feeling that it's too difficult and you want to do something that feels more pleasant, like, you know, just scroll through your phone on social media or something. And that's fine, because all you're feeling there is the fact that I think the things that matter to us do bring us up against our edges and our limitations. They do challenge us because the stakes are higher. And I think just sort of expecting it to feel that way makes a huge difference, because soon it then, you know, I don't think the discomfort always lasts. I think you can get into sort of deep absorption and fulfillment from doing these activities, but just not expecting any of this to be like super comfortable right from the start, I think makes a massive difference.
We're talking to Oliver Berkman, journalist and author, about his new book. It's called 4,000 Weeks, Time Management for Mortals. He says, instead of trying to get so efficient that we can do it all the things we want and have to do in our lives, we are probably better off realizing that we're finite. We don't have that much time. We can't do it all. And that's going to help us realize what's important, what we want to spend our time doing when we have the choice. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Does any of this ring a bell with you? Did you realize that, hey, maybe there are some things I'm spending a lot of time on that don't bring me happiness or joy or fulfillment, and I can stop them or maybe spend less time on them? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-123 with your thoughts, your experiences, maybe your questions for our guest. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk now with author Oliver Berkman. His new book is called 4,000 Weeks, Time Management for Mortals. He says, no matter how much time management and productivity training we get, we can't do all the stuff we want to do in life or feel like we should do in life. And that's okay. And knowing that is actually going to help us pick and choose and use our time in good ways. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you tried time management advice in a book or an app or whatever? How'd it work for you? Have you realized there are things you can leave out? You don't have to get through every email, say, in your inbox. Your yard doesn't have to look perfect, so you can use that time on better stuff. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring out a caller now. Destiny is with us in Milwaukee. Destiny, hello.
Hi.
What did you want to tell us about?
I really appreciate the guest speaker talking about how you just sometimes going to be uncomfortable with these realizations. And something that really helped me was to stop using the word should, especially as a new mom. I constantly am telling myself, like, you should be doing the laundry, or you should be helping with the yard work, or whatever that may be. And realizing that if I just changed the word should to could, I was much more comfortable with what I was actually choosing to spend my time on. So I could be doing the laundry, or I could be making a phone call to a really good friend, and just feeling still fulfilled with what I was doing.
Destiny, I'm glad you could make a call to us. Thank you so much for sharing that. Oliver, what do you think of what Destiny had to say?
I think that's just a fantastic point. I think that, you know, the word should is so interesting because you can generate a list of 100 things that you feel you should be doing. There's no reason to believe that that is going to be, that you're going to have enough time for all those things, right? I mean, maybe you've got time for 5 of them. But so our minds are capable of this kind of limitless level of, you know, beating ourselves up for all the things we're supposed to be doing. And it just sort of floats free of the basic math, which is like, there are so many hours in the day and you're going to have to sleep for some of them. And you should try to give a little bit of time to resting and to doing things for yourself. So I think it's a great, great point. And of course, there are things that we feel duty bound to do, but it really makes no sense to think that we're duty bound to do more things than it's humanly possible to do. That's just a non-starter.
Destiny, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Oliver, reading your book, what I thought about a lot is my experience with vacations. Once upon a time, if I'd paid the money to go somewhere and taken the time to get somewhere and knowing I probably would never get back, I'd have the mindset that I have to see every single thing there is to see and eat all the foods and, you know, all the stuff. And then I said, you know what? No, I'm going to just enjoy bits and pieces and know I'm going to miss stuff. And I enjoy traveling a whole lot more when I get the opportunity to do it. That I don't know. That's what I thought about reading your book. That mindset I should maybe take from my travel to the rest of my life.
I think it's yes, I absolutely. I mean, I think what's going on there is this way that we almost turn leisure into another kind of work.
Yeah.
And what we're doing there in work as well as in leisure is really focusing on the instrumental benefits of time, right? We're thinking about time entirely as something that we're using for some future purpose. And in the case of vacations, it's the future purpose of that lovely satisfied feeling that you really got the most out of your vacation. But if you completely fixate on using time for future benefit, you're kind of not present to the time itself, and the present and the future kind of never arrives, so you miss your life. I think it's a really good point. I think it's actually worth thinking about vacations and days off as an opportunity to waste time. Like, almost, I think we need that in our culture these days. We're so wired to try to use all our leisure time well. It's almost a challenge to try to almost deliberately do something that has no benefit for our careers or for the future or for our families, et cetera, et cetera.
Talking to Oliver Berkman about his new book. It's called 4,000 Weeks, Time Management for Mortals. Still time for you to share your thoughts, your experiences, or maybe your questions for our guest at 800-642-1234. If you'd like, that's 800-642-1234, or email ideas at WPR.org. Oliver, you've mentioned here, and you write about this, you're working toward this mindset shift, you're encouraging it for others, but it isn't always easy, even for you, having worked on this for some years now. What are some of the roadblocks you've encountered?
I mean, I just think that I have, and I think a lot of people have, a pretty deep-seated notion that we need to do a huge amount of stuff. We need to be incredibly productive, not just to pay the rent and to make our lives sort of work out financially, which we do. I accept that. But to feel like we've justified our existence on the planet. You know, there's a whole self-worth piece built into this where you kind of think that it would be somehow immoral if you spent the whole day in the park reading a novel. Now, you might not be able to spend the whole day in the park reading the novel because of your financial situation or your employment situation. But if you get those little chances, even for a half an hour here or there, like, I think the big challenge is, like, don't make it into a thing where you're like, you feel like you're not justified in existing unless you are producing stuff. So that for me has been a big challenge. This notion that, like, you're enough regardless of what you produce, and then sure, go ahead and produce some things and accomplish some things because that's good to do, but not as the condition of your, not as your sort of price of admission for being human, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, and you write about, and this is getting more toward the practical side of things, I think there are a lot of things we can do that might feel productive, but there may be distractions from the good stuff, or whatever the good stuff might be. How do we tell one from the other?
Well, we live, don't we, in this culture that sort of really, really champions doing things, kind of almost regardless of what the things are. If you get to the end of a work day and you, like, did a lot of stuff, you're liable to feel very virtuous, like you did your part. But there's no virtue inherently in just doing things. It depends what things. So yeah, I think there are a lot of techniques and approaches to this. A very simple one is that if you have the control over your work day, not everyone does, but if you have, to really try to spend the first 2 or 3 hours on something that really counts and that really matters, and to just not touch the inbox or the little bits of admin until after you've put in those 2 or 3 hours, to resist this urge to say, well, okay, I just got into work, I'm going to clear the decks, get everything a little out of the way so that I can focus. Because of course what happens is you never clear the decks. In fact, the act of trying to clear the decks just generates more stuff on the decks. So, you know, putting what matters the most first for a sort of ring fence 2 or 3 hours in the day is an incredibly powerful practice, I think.
I want to get a little more into something you've mentioned a couple times now, the idea that at some point in the future, I'm going to have the time to do the stuff when, or the resources, when I have the good job, or when I retire, or when the kids move out, or whatever. What advice do you have for us to take that future and start working it into our daily life now?
Well, I love this insight that comes from a creativity coach called Jessica Abel, who says that, you know, this idea from personal finance about paying yourself first, in other words, putting a bit of money into savings as soon as you receive a paycheck instead of hoping that it'll be left over when you've spent all your, you know, paid all your bills and bought your groceries and everything. The same applies to time. If you think that, you know, writing a novel, writing songs, or nurturing a specific relationship in your life, whatever it is the thing that you really plan to do when you get the time, the only way is to do a little bit of it right now, you know, to do a little bit of it today, even if it's half an hour, even if it's 20 minutes, even if you don't feel ready or qualified yet to do that thing. Pay yourself first with time. Do a little bit of that right now and keep doing that as many days as you can. And just accept that, yeah, you're going to feel like, no, I wanted to wait a few years until I was in the right frame of mind. But just understand that that's a trap.
Leslie in Cottage Grove emailed us. Leslie says, once you're retired, you have a great sense of time's limits and it becomes easier to choose to spend time on things that personally matter. I can work on whatever I want to. Well, I want to spend the last half a minute, Oliver, remind us the realization that we can realize those limits of time right now and start working with it.
Right. I mean, I really take that point. I think it's excellent about retirement, and I think it really does liberate a lot of people. But the difference between someone in retirement and someone earlier on in life. Like, we're all on this. It's not that huge. We're all in this very short little span of time, and we could all do to, I think, spend a bit more time on what we care about the most and a bit less time convincing ourselves that we one day might be able to do everything.
Well, Oliver, thanks for using some of your time with us today. I appreciate it.
It's been a great pleasure. Thank you.
Oliver Berkman is a journalist and author. We've been talking about his latest book. It's called 4,000 Weeks, Time Management for Mortals. You can still share your thoughts, maybe your own advice. Email ideas@WPR.org or tweet us @CentralTimeWPR.